Now, sticking with the gastrointestinal tract, Cambridge scientists have announced that a quick, simple and cheap capsule sponge test can safely replace expensive screening endoscopies, in other words, telescope tests, for around half of patients with the condition Barrett's esophagus. This is a change in the appearance of the cells that line the esophagus closest to the stomach. It's relatively common, but it can lead to esophageal cancer in some people, so patients with the condition require regular screening to spot people in which this is happening, and ideally early. But the process is time-consuming, it's uncomfortable, and it does still miss cancers. The capsule sponge test, on the other hand, where patients swallow a simple sampling device on a thread, which pops open in the stomach and is then withdrawn through the mouth, captures a large sample of cells on the way up, and looks far superior as a way to do this monitoring, both in terms of practicality, cost, and sensitivity. It's the brainchild of pathologist Rebecca Fitzgerald, who's just published in The Lancet the compelling results of a trial to assess the performance of her device in hundreds of patients across multiple UK hospitals.
Barrett's esophagus is a response of the body to inflammation from acid and bile reflux. That's a very common problem, affects about 10% of individuals. And in a proportion of those, actually in about 10% of those people with heartburn, that acid and bile damage can lead to the replacement of the cells in the lower part of the esophagus. It's a kind of adaptive response with this condition called Barrett's esophagus. And the importance of this condition is really about the risk for progressing to cancer. And this is a very horrid cancer, so finding it early is really, really important.
Is the problem then that we know that this happens, but what we don't know is in whom it's going to be a problem? But we have to
exactly.
Look at everybody, because if we don't look at everybody, because we don't know for whom it's going to be a problem, we're going to miss the ones that are going to turn into an esophageal cancer.
Absolutely right. So at the moment, we have a one-size-fits-all approach. So when we find the Barrett's, we put everyone into a monitoring program. They come for endoscopy between every 2, 3, sometimes 5 years. Most patients are going to be having multiple endoscopies over their lifetime. It's quite uncomfortable. It's quite stressful for the patient. It's expensive for the health service. And for most of those patients, they just don't really need that close monitoring. It's unnecessary. And that's what we think is exciting about the capsule sponge. It's very operator independent, usually given by a nurse. You know, it scrapes the cells out of the esophagus, unlike endoscopy that really depends on how well the operator scrutinizes the lining and takes the biopsies from the same place. And we can tailor it on your specific risk characteristics. So because of the markers that we're using, taking into account your age, your sex, the length of your Barrett's esophagus, so that's all in our algorithm, we can then really start to kind of work out very low-risk people who just frankly don't really need endoscopy. They could have a sponge every 2 or 3 years, maybe every 5 years when we get more confident with this. And then on the other hand, we really shine the light on people at the highest risk. And then they could really be sent to the most expert specialist centres with endoscopists that have got a special interest in this, who are going to use sophisticated imaging, couple that with really good pathology as well, so that we find the early lesions and remove them and improve the outcomes. So it's a much more tailored approach, easier for the patients, more convenient, and we think it would be more robust.
The capsule sponge test is something you have pioneered, and I've seen it. And for the benefit of our listeners, imagine swallowing a pan scourer, but one that's tightly bound up in a small capsule that then pops open in the stomach and can be pulled out. It basically captures some of the lining of the esophagus on the way out, doesn't it? So you can look at that. So when you do this on people, how good is this as an intervention or a monitoring tool then?
Just to give your listeners an idea as well of how many cells we capture, 1 million plus, up to 4 million sometimes. So we get a much bigger cell sample than a pinch biopsy at endoscopy. And then we do the tests, including the P53, the cell morphology. We couple it with AI in this study as well, to help the pathologist focus on the area of interest. And we have three risk groups: low risk, moderate risk, and high risk. The low risk is over 50% of individuals. The chances of you having a serious problem in your esophagus, if you were put in the low risk category, by that I mean cancer, was 0.4%.
Does that mean then, Rebecca, that what you're able to do is keep a lot of basically well people out of the clinic? You're minimising,
exactly.
That you can focus the endoscopies on the ones that it looks like they're the ones who are going to have the problem.
Absolutely right. So we think about 50% of people, we could just put them into sponge-only follow-up 3 years down the line, 5 years down the line. And we want to do more work to see what that optimal interval would be. And maybe some of these people, when we get more and more evidence, could even be discharged. So that's over 50% of the people. The other end of the spectrum, we have this low, moderate, and high-risk group. In the high-risk group, when we saw our two key sponge markers as positive, that's a P53 test, it's a bit technical, and the cell changes, which we call atypia. When you had both of those present on your sponge, the chances of you actually having something wrong at your endoscopy, so a dysplasia or cancer diagnosis, is 85%.
Does this mean then you have enough almost statistical power here to make the case and satisfy regulators, etc., that this should be the gold standard, that we ought to be monitoring people in this way in general practice, in primary care? And is that what's going to become the established way of doing this now off the back of this Lancet paper?
This field has been stuck for a long time, and I think this level of evidence should enable us to start shifting. And it doesn't mean to say, of course, that we just kind of stop collecting the evidence and we just say, that's great, we're going to change gear. You know, if you're in the low-risk category, you're going to have sponge-only monitoring and we don't need to continue to evaluate that. Of course, we continue to audit it, but I would hope we can start moving the bar for how we treat these patients, because at the moment, the system really doesn't work very well.
Some great news there. Rebecca Fitzgerald at the University of Cambridge, and she's just published those results in the Lancet Medical Journal.